What shall I minister tonight? Of course, the Son of God. Precious is he. In retrospect, he has become so meaningful and wonderful. And we are living in an age when everything, as has often been said, is instant. But although a saint becomes so instantly when he comes to embrace the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that saint has to go through a process so that what God has made us in Christ might be seen by others who would be jealous to know the secret as to who brought it all to pass. I have ministered on other occasions to you concerning Abraham. But for instance, you have pictures in your home, and should you have various frames for that one picture, you would get a perspective of that picture according to the frame into which it's put. So there is another facet concerning Abraham. And will you turn with me, first of all, to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And in the 6th chapter, we read this in verse 12 through verse 15. That ye be not lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, in order to have patience, one must endure. And although it seems paradoxical as to how one can receive patience by enduring, nevertheless, the Lord brings that to pass in each of our lives. As we endure, he gives us patience. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which he has given unto us. And tribulation does work patience. Now again, coming on to Abraham, will you turn with me to the 11th chapter? And in the 11th chapter, we read this concerning Abraham in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then I want you to notice verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Very well. But before Abraham died in faith, look at verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Here he was writing, as I have had the privilege in ministering this epistle, he was writing to believers, Jewish believers, who were suffering. And he tells them, now look, you have ministered to the saints. You have shown the proof that you are truly believers, because the nature of God is in you and you minister to the brethren. Now be just as diligent and don't be lazy when it comes to be patient under duress. And then you will receive the promises. Then he goes on to say that in the new covenant, or rather the covenant that God made with Abraham, he swore. When a covenant is made, and it's just to refresh your mind, like in Genesis, the 15th chapter, we notice that when a covenant was made in the Old Testament and even before Abraham's time, two people came together and they cut an animal or animals. They laid them side by side. And the two men who came to make a covenant, having killed these animals and laying them one over against the other, the first one stood between the cleft pieces and said, I call God to witness, may I be cleft as this animal. May I cease to exist if I keep not my part of the covenant or business deal or the whatever you want to call it with this man. He stepped aside, then this man came, stood between the pieces, and called God to witness. So may I, said the second man, cease to exist as this animal. May I die if I keep not my part of the covenant or the agreement or the deal that I make with that man. The two call upon the greater to witness. Now, I want you to notice something in Jeremiah, the 34th chapter and verse 18. Jeremiah, the 34th chapter and verse 18. And there we read in this chapter the truth of what I have just brought to our attention. But the displeasure of the Lord, who called the Lord to be witness concerning various covenants that were made in Israel at that time. In verse 18, and I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had sworn, and which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. What happened there was business deals were made, and they made covenants, and each one swore by God that they were being honest, upright, and may the Lord be witness to the agreement made. And then they broke that covenant. They took God and made a mockery of him, only to gain their own devious purposes. Along that line, I want you to turn with me to Genesis, the 15th chapter. And in Genesis, chapter 15, something here. And in the 15th chapter of Genesis, the Lord God said, I have called you, I will make a great people, I will bring forth a great people from you, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Abraham said in verse 8, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall not merit it, but inherit it? And he said, all right, take unto me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou, Abraham, shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and shalt be buried in good old age. Then I want you to notice verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and while Abraham was in a deep sleep, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a shining lamp that passed between those pieces. Abram was put aside. He could not enter into that covenant, because Abram was an individual like ourselves, and he would break his part of the covenant. Therefore, God would have to break his part, so he set Abraham aside. As he did so, this became an unconditional covenant. Unconditional based on whom and what. In the smoking furnace, a picture of what Abram's seed would suffer in Egypt, and the smoking furnace representing all her sufferings, that the Jehovah would be with her, and to prove that the Lord God took that responsibility on himself, not being able to swear by anyone greater, he swore by himself. Because he is the great, most high God. Swearing by himself is seen in the fact that while the smoking furnace of Israel's affliction goes through these cleft pieces, behind her is God's presence in the shining lamp, or the Shekinah glory. But we would say to ourselves, if that be the case, then everything was fine. But the Lord said, not yet. When I have made all these promises to you, and I have sworn by myself, Abram, I have to take you through a process to let you see for yourself as to whether you are really trusting me or whether you are looking for that which I have promised. So, we notice here, for instance, in Genesis, the 14th chapter. And in Genesis, the 14th chapter, we read of warfare. We read of certain kings banding themselves together, fighting against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they defeated them. They took the souls that were there, they took the goods. When Abram, who lived as a pilgrim and a stranger, and living thus, he was not sapped in his energies or in other ways as a man of a city would be by the various daily things that would encompass him, but being a worshiper, away from all this, he was able then to use that strength for God's purposes. Beloved, including myself, you and I are constantly encompassed by a world system. And the God of this world system is the God of this world, Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air. And he appeals to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the sin nature, in order by pursuing these things, at last we will have, so to speak, gained, and we see others beneath ourselves. But here he was, the pilgrim, and as soon as he heard concerning his nephew Lot and what had happened, he took all his servants, he went out to battle, and the Lord God, or rather he didn't know it then, he had victory. As he came back triumphantly, the first process through which Abraham was put to see if he truly was trusting in the Lord God, we notice right here that a man by the name of Melchizedek met him. And as this Melchizedek met him, we read in verse 18 of Genesis 14, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God." You and I have been taught that priesthood in the nation Israel didn't start until Levi became a tribe. And through a test, that tribe was to be the priestly tribe unto God. But here we see that he was the priest of the Most High God, which leads us to believe, and ancient history corroborates, that there were God lovers who feared this God, whom they did not understand fully, but they feared him, and they were living a life desiring for that life to be well-pleasing to him. It seems evident from the text that Abram knew Melchizedek, and Melchizedek knew Abram. So I want you to notice this. He brought forth bread and wine. Why? Because after a battle of this kind, he had to be sustained emotionally. He could have been drained physically. He could have been tired. And he needed something to quicken him. That is why we read in the Gospel of John, before our Lord spoke to Peter, he first fed them to sustain them. Because one cannot be as lucid nor receive the truth of the things of the Lord until first one is sustained physically. Sometimes it's a hindrance from really perceiving that which the Lord has for us, which is so meaningful. You find that even amongst non-Christian people, sometimes food or refreshment or an incident makes them receptive for something of whatever nature you want to get across to them. So he brought forth bread and wine. Personally, I think it was a sacramental act, because through giving him this bread and wine, he was preparing him for something higher. And the first thing we see in the process to which Abraham is put is this, that this Melchizedek, in verse 18, was the priest of the Most High God. You see the heathen all around. And by the way, Abraham, my father according to the flesh, and my brother here who is with us tonight, Abraham also was a heathen. And for whatever reason, only the Lord knows in his purposes, he reached down in heathendom and took hold of that man, Abraham. But Abraham didn't have the knowledge of God. The Lord appeared unto him and made promises to him. But here, in verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. The heathen had God. And some were higher than others in their estimation and their worship of them. But he was the Most High God in the superlative degree over against all the other gods that the heathen worshiped. He was the Most High God. He gave him a knowledge of God and also or what he possessed and was able to do. Here we notice, he is the possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And Abram gave unto Melchizedek tithes of all. Right at that meeting of Melchizedek and Abram, Abram was going to be tested the first time to see if Abram actually believed what was told him, if Abram really appropriated it by faith. So as soon as Melchizedek seemingly goes off the scene, here the king of Sodom, a heathen king, comes. And the king of Sodom, in verse 21, the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And listen to the answer. He met the first test. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Already before the king of Sodom even approached him, Abram believed what Melchizedek told him. And so it is, beloved, in every test that you and I are enabled to overcome, it's based on what we know in the scriptures, what we quote are in the scriptures, and especially what we obey in the scriptures. And that's exactly what he heard. That God was the possessor of heaven and earth. He listened carefully, he appropriated fully, and then he demonstrated outwardly. I'm not reading from notes now. I want you to notice, I will not take anything that is thine, lest that thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. And he refused. He met the first test. Now the Lord, after telling Abram, or rather Melchizedek telling Abram, that he was the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and Abram appropriated it, by believing it and demonstrating it to be so by the act of refusing from a heathen king what was offered, the Lord says, well, now he's ready for the second test. The Lord told him that he would have a seed that Sarah would bear. It was told him. And as it was told him, I want you to notice, Sarah couldn't wait. Abram was influenced by Sarah. And so not being able to wait, the word of God tells us in verse 15 of chapter 16, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called the son's name which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, that is 86, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And the Lord did not want that. That was not in his purpose. Therefore, he appeared unto Abram after Abram was taken up with Ishmael for 13 years. God was silent to Abram. And child of God, beloved, if the Lord seems to be far away, if there is no consciousness of his presence, if the scriptures that you have learned and once believed seem to sort of become hazy, it could be due to the fact that something has reached your affections which is not according to the will of God. And so here, when Abram was 90 years old and 99 years old, over against 86, it's 99. For 13 years the Lord did not appear unto him. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, Abram, I am the Almighty God, not only the Most High, but I am the Almighty God. Abram, it is true what Sarah felt. She was beyond bearing. And it's true concerning yourself, but Abram, I am the Almighty God. Oh, says Abram, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And so he said, I am the Almighty God. And when circumstances ran to the contrary, and Sarah said, get rid of the bondwoman and her son, he did so because he knew God now as the Almighty One who could bring to pass what was promised him. So after knowing him as the Almighty God, things went on and circumstances came to pass. And then finally, through it all, Abram became a worshiper. And as he worshiped, I want you to notice the end of first of chapter 21 and verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord. Read the rest of it out loud. The everlasting God. He lasts forever. Therefore, whatever he says, whatever he will do, is everlasting. At that time, when he went through the third and final testing, and beloved, the Lord will never test you above that which you will be able to bear. At last, Abram was able to bear this final test because he did not know God merely as the Most High. He didn't know him merely as the Almighty, but the one who is the Most High and the Almighty is the Everlasting. Very well, Abraham. Being that you called on me, the God who lasts forever, I am sure you are ready, Abram, to make the final sacrifice unto me. Abram, just as you were taken with Ishmael, and finally getting a knowledge of myself whereby you were willing to drive out both the mother and the child, Abram, now I'm asking you for a final sacrifice. If you believe that I am the everlasting God, the God who lasts forever, then Abram, I am sure what I'm about to ask you, you will carry out with any misgivings. Abram, you had your eye on Ishmael for so long, and now you have the promised one. Abram, you're taken up too much with him. You're rejoicing in the gift. Abram, have you forgotten me, the giver? Oh, Abram, I want you to do this. Abram, I'm calling you. And in verse 1, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. In other words, Abram, that which I have given you, offer it up completely unto myself. Let go. And here. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and I believe he did it resolutely, and saddled his ass, and would not tell Sarah, because she caused trouble before. She might interfere now. He didn't even tell her. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship without the element of sacrifice is personal convenience for personal ends. Worship. He wanted his son to be sacrificed there, and Abraham called it a worship. Why? He knew the God who lasts forever. And in his worship, it had to have the element of sacrifice, so he said, and worship. We are going to worship, and we're going to come back again to you. He was resolute. I believe with all the resoluteness of his being, that's the way it was carried out. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering laid upon his son Isaac, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And as he was resolutely going to take that knife, plunge it into his son Isaac, he knew that if even he died, the God who is everlasting, the God who lasts forever, would raise him from the dead, because that God cannot lie, he swore by himself. Abram was taken through the first test, he was taken through the second, and now he met all the requirements of the third test. He did not become a saint all of a sudden. He went through a process, and finally, when he took the knife to slay his son, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know, it has been demonstrated before me, that you believe that I'm the Most High God. You believe I'm the Almighty God, who is everlasting. And now I know that you have demonstrated that I could raise him from the dead. So right here, I want you to notice, verse 15, And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. When did he do that? As we saw in the 15th chapter. By myself have I sworn then. And as it is mentioned here, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that what I promised you in the unconditional covenant, I'm reiterating and sealing it to you, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because thou hast what? Child of God, I don't know, the Lord may come or I might be taken home. We never know. We never know. But remember one thing. He obeyed when he was taken through the first test. Finally, when the Lord broke in upon him, he finally obeyed, having gone through the second test. And then in the third test, God reiterated what he promised in the 15th chapter was very sure unto him. And he went through the third test because he obeyed the voice of the Lord. He was willing to let go of the gift in order to embrace the giver. You know, I stand here. And as I stand here, I say to myself, Harry, the nitty-gritty is going to come. And then we will see whether you did it for showmanship or whether it's the Spirit of God really working in your own heart. We only know when we obey. And what we know when we obey is that the Lord God is greater than any other gift that we enjoy in our pilgrimage journey, because we see it in that gift of gifts, the Son of God. And we are willing to let go according to God's word in obedience to him and embrace that one gift in whom all the promises of God are yea and amen. I want to say this, pray for me. Keep on praying for me, as I often pray for you and this marvelous oversight and the various things that different ones have told me how wonderful God has blessed the assembly because of the rich oversight. And how meaningful they become to the Lord as we see, they see the oversight so concerned about them. You are a rare people here. And if you think I'm exaggerating, all I wish is that you could be able to go from one assembly to another, whether in the States or Canada or once abroad. I have yet to find the blessings of the Lord, as I find it here, to the oversight that the people have been blessed by. May you be knit together in love as one, and may nothing ever swerve you from him who has drawn you to himself. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we praise thee for the process through which Abraham passed, and he was obedient even to the giving up of all the promises of God in Isaac. But we have all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, and they are yea and amen. So we embrace thee because of the blessedness that we have in him. And we say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Mold us and make us after thy will, while we wait upon thee, and we are still. Unless thou dost bring it to pass, it shall never come to pass. So may we be patient, realizing we're going through this journey, this pilgrimage journey. We are being taken through a process until we will actually become as he is before thyself. Bless thy people, the blessing they've been to thy servant, only thou knowest. Keep on blessing them and reminding them that I'm another pilgrim on my way home. And may they pray for me, and may they not forget. We ask it, our Father, in the name of thy dear Son, and for his sake. Amen.